Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys Dan and Cass. Go Bucks.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. I'm here with Big Cass. No surprise at all. The Buckeyes, they pulled the Holtman special. One win, one loss in the tournament. Not that we didn't see this coming. We all saw this coming from a mile away. I was telling myself we were going to go for a deep run, Sweet 16, Elite 8. Didn't happen. Cass, what were your thoughts? I guess let's start with the Loyola game first, and we'll talk about the Nova game.
Loyola, that was the best defensive performance I've seen in a long, long time. Yeah, I thought that was a very good game, especially for Kyle Young. The team obviously rallies around Kyle Young better than anybody. I think they just bring more energy when Kyle Young was on the court. And it even showed during the Villanova game. Kyle Young gets hurt when we were down two. I think if Kyle Young was able to finish that game, we might have been playing Michigan tonight. Which, by the way, Michigan lost to Villanova. Yes.
Which you love to see it.
Yeah. I just thought defensively we were tough in both games, I thought, defensively. Thought I brought the energy. I just think they finally ran out of gas against Villanova. Villanova's just too good. I didn't realize how good they were. they're on the cusp of breaking the all-time record for free throw percentage. 83% as a team.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It was funny too. It was Oral Roberts was on that list too. I forgot the other team, but it was basically if you beat Ohio State in the tournament.
Harvard was on that list too.
Yeah. I think it was Villanova, Harvard, Oral Roberts, I believe, in that order. It's insane. It's only Ohio State would get that luck where we get the two best free throw shooting teams in history in the tournament.
And I thought Malachi Brennan really showed out against Villanova. Took him a while to get going, but I thought he played well. I thought EJ Liddell was EJ Liddell, like we expected. But
and then no one else did anything. Kyle Young, I'll give him credit. He got hurt. He was playing good, but literally no one else did anything.
And that's what I said last week for this team to make a run. We needed that third person, and we never got that third person.
To put it in perspective, Cass, Kyle Young was our third leading scorer that game with 6 points. And then it was just Eugene Brown with 5, Zed Key with 4, Jamari Willer, and Amici Johnson hit a 3. So nothing. Nothing at all.
I know people are calling for Holtman's job. I know Dan has said some things. I've kind of mentioned something. But it was one of those seasons. It was a very weird season. We never saw Seth Towns at all this year. We saw Justice Suing.
We saw Seth Towns get tossed. We saw him get ejected.
Yeah.
That's all we saw of it.
We did see that. We saw Justice Suing for a hot second. We saw, just recapping this season, we saw a great game at Duke where Dan and I, for the last 12 minutes of the game, kept looking at each other. Maybe we'll leave now. And then we beat Duke.
That was the highlight. That is the highlight of the season.
I went to the game where we thrashed Wisconsin. And then after that, COVID hit. After we beat Duke and Wisconsin back to back, literally, COVID hit.
I think we figured out the key. I think you just need to go to the games because if you go, we do well. Apparently, because if we beat Duke and Wisconsin,
I went to Penn State and there was they won. But there was no energy in the arena.
It's all right. I think, what were you, 3-0 this year at the games?
Yeah, 3-0.
Yeah. You love to see it, man.
Just keep me at the football games. As a spectator fan, I'm undefeated. So, like I said, weird season. We saw Justice Suing for a hot second. We beat Duke. We beat Wisconsin. COVID hit. We get back from COVID. And that's where it happens, where we end up, we look good at times, we look bad at times, and then we look good again. After we beat Illinois, shit hit the fan. Like, that was bad. Like, the way we finished, and I think it was just tiredness. But I did think we brought energy to the NCAA tournament because we also lost Sed Key and Kyle Young at the end of the season. We didn't get them back until the tournament. I'm going to give Holtmann one more year as a benefit of doubt, just see if we could stay healthy. And maybe now that COVID's not a thing, maybe in this recruiting class that's coming in, maybe we might have something happen. But if it doesn't happen next year, Holtmann's got to go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all right. We have such a good recruiting class coming in, like that kid from Georgia. Kalen Etzler didn't play at all. I just want to touch on this. I update my background right here, correct? You can see it?
Yes.
All right. Barstool Ohio State tweeted this baby out. And the internet was freaking out over this after we beat Loyola. I just want to bring this up. This is the funniest thing ever. Sister Jean with the crying Jordan face. This is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And it's all good fun.
But it's terrible also.
It's great. Oh, look, when you beat a team, when you make one shot, when you go, I don't even know what it was. We made one three-pointer the entire game, and we beat them by double digits. I think we went one for 15 shooting from three, and we beat them by double digits. They barely scored 41 points.
By the way, I said we beat them by 12.
Yeah. Cass has been money, but this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like, you can't not laugh at this. And it's all in good fun. And people were getting so mad about this on the internet. I love it. I mean, it's
beautiful. I ain't going to lie. When they showed up the picture of her just sitting there, she had no clue what was going on, literally. That's what she looked like.
I did, like, and then Holtmann went up to her after the game, and he was like, oh, wow, 102 years younger or whatever. And people were like,
our football stadium is younger than you.
Yeah, but, I mean, Sister Jean took the L. Pleasure doing business with you. That's all I got to say. I am happy. I had the guys over to watch the game. We saw this on Twitter. We thumped them. Great day overall, in my opinion. That's all I got to say about that. But the Nova game, I mean, the Nova game, it is what it is. They're a better program, better free throw shooting program. It's, I don't know.
Better guards.
I'm fine with it because I'm fine with the outcome of this season because, one, we all saw this come from a mile away. Two, we got to win in the tournament. Like, and it wasn't even a stressful win either. It was, we were in control the entire time.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, I was sitting at the local restaurant right around the corner of my house, and it felt like we won the game in the first 5 minutes, and it was like, yeah, this thing's over. It was a boring game. If you were not a fan of Loyola or Ohio State, you were turning it to another game. And all the other games were blowouts, too, that day.
Well, you weren't even turning because it was the only game on. It was the only – then the Arkansas-Jacksonville State game came on. And that game was all right for the first half.
And I think Arizona – did Arizona play?
Oh, man, I don't even remember. That day was such a blur. I mean, we were – look, once Ohio State got the win, I had, like, six of my buddies at my house. We were playing beer pong, Flip Cup. We had a little March Madness watch party, and I don't even remember. It was just a great day overall. And then Sunday, back to reality. But it's the Holtmann special. We saw this coming. That's all I gotta say.
It's not I think you get one more year out of Chris Holtmann, see what he does next year. Hopefully we win a Big Ten. Get something going. I mean,
he's gotta develop. He has to develop his players, though. We can't
Michi Johnson has to get better.
Michi has to become a true point guard.
Eugene Brown has to be able to develop a shot.
Yeah, Zed Key, you gotta develop a post game. I mean, those
get better. I thought Zed Key was ultimately better this year, but he has to step up his game a little bit more. Get better offensively. Defensively. His offensive game is not bad.
He just needs to like. He just needs be more to fine aggressive. Tune some things.
Like be more aggressive. Fine tune your footwork, and be more aggressive on defense. Like EJ Liddell should not have been our top blocker. Zed Key should have been.
I agree. No, I 100% agree there, Cass. And it's weird because Zed Key actually played really well against Duke in their bigs, but then against Villanova, he looked like he was completely out of his element. It's interesting. I mean, he was hurt. You know, he's been banged up, so you gotta also factor that in. But Holtmann has to develop his guys. We gotta pray to Jesus, Sister Jean. May she forgive us for the crying Jordan meme, but we gotta pray that like Malachi Branham just decides, I don't want money, I'm coming back. Like I hope, you know, that NIL fund with Schottenstein and Cardale and JT Barrett and
Urban Meyer,
Prestige Worldwide, like everyone Rick, part of that.
They gotta
pull up the Brinks truck for Malachi Branham, because we need him. If we don't have Malachi Branham next year, I don't like our odds at all. I think we're gonna be like, it's gonna be a terrible team to watch. I'm just gonna be completely honest. Unless a couple of these freshmen are just studs, but what do we know? It's Ohio State, and all these studs that come in, you know, they're gonna forget how to dribble and shoot by the third week in January. So, I mean, that's just what happens under Holtmann. So, by the way, Arn still has another year of eligibility. He might come back. He did senior day, but it's going to be interesting.
If Justin Arns comes back, I might have to boycott basketball. I might have to just jump on the women's side, which, by the way, I said this off air, I would love to have J.C. Sheldon and Taylor Mikesell on our team. At least J.C. Sheldon is not afraid to go to the rack and go to the hole with the basketball. Shout out to the women's team who plays for an Elite Eight tomorrow.
She's a true guard. I mean, she's averaging 19.8
from
points.
From Dublin,
yeah.
Like, right in our backyard. Like, this women's basketball team is so much more fun to watch than the men's was this year.
Honestly, Cash, you're right though. Like,
they went into LSU, they took them to the woodshed.
J.C. Sheldon
spanked them.
Be the leading scorer on our men's team. EJ Adele only averaged 19.4. She's averaging 19.8. We got Braxton Miller, and like, you know, people listen to, oh, Dan, you can't be serious. Like, women's sports aren't as fun to watch. Like, no, it is. Like, they're very good. Like, I get, like, watch them. I'm going to be getting so
excited.
They
took LSU, who was a 3 seed. We were the 6 seed. We were the undisputed defending Big Ten regular season champs. We went into Baton Rouge and took LSU to the woodshed, and now we're going to go
79-64.
Now we're about to go beat the Texas Longhorns tomorrow night. Go Buckeyes, hook 'em horns. I hope I get fined by the Big 12 for doing the hook 'em down.
Like, this is the Quinn Ewers game. Like, our women's team is going to go and spank Texas. And we're giving them horns down, and this is.
I hope we get a 15-yard penalty and a.
This is for you, Quinn. This is for you, Quinn. This is a real basketball school. No, but like, I mean, they're exciting. I give them all the credit in the world. Yes, we're bandwagoning. I'm not going to sit here and be like, I watched every women's game.
I got Kelsey Mitchell's autograph.
Cass is a true fan. Cass watches the games. I'm a bandwagon fan. I watch the tournament games. I'm pulling for them against Texas. And then obviously our women's hockey team. By the way, like, the women's athletic sports, fantastic. Like,
cheerleading, dance team.
Yeah. Women's ice hockey, national champs. So
probably fencing, diving.
Yeah, I think the pistol team won a national championship again. So it's just women's – I got to say, I think the women's sports might be better right now than the men's sports. Like, even football, technically, you got to factor that in. You got to factor – I mean, they're winning national championships and getting further in the tournaments than the men's teams. You got to throw that out there. I know it's going to – you know, some people might get angry about that, but it's a fact.
It's a fact right now. Coach McGuff has got his team rolling, that women's hockey team. Look at the comparison of the baseball and softball team, like, this year. Like, come on. Like, yeah, shout out to the women's ice hockey team. National champions. Way to bring it home, ladies. But I'm mad because the largest national championship shirt you have is a 2X. Got to show some big cast some love. You need a larger than a 2X shirt, because you know I'd be rocking that national championship. I have so much pride for this university, even
rock
though I never attended.
Rock a crop top.
Maybe I'll look like Zeke. Actually, more like there's this wrestler. I'm going to look him up real quick. There was this wrestler manager back in the 90s for Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
His name was Rufus. He wore the smallest of shirts. And he was like this hillbilly-looking guy. Let me see.
Oh, I'm pulling up Rufus Chris Jericho. Oh, my gosh. Jericho Personal Security, it says. JPS.
Yes. If you got, put that picture up one for the people, because my computer, for some reason, is not loading.
Oh, yeah. Let me. I gotta download it real quick. One second. I think I got it. Hold on. Choose virtual background. Add. Oh, we got it.
If I wore...
So, this would be Cass. So this is Jericho. Cass needs to get the women's... Like a women's... Also, if you get like a large, let's say, like a women's ice hockey national championship, large, just rock the crop top like that, and you'd look fantastic.
I would literally show up to Buckeye Rink and wear that shirt.
Might get a little cold. I mean, you might
maybe it'd be a sweatshirt. Maybe be this like a sweatshirt like this one. Like
they're gonna be like, sir, you need to leave. This is not family friendly.
Hey, it was a free ticket. What do you expect?
I'm dead. But yeah, I mean, like, just get that. That's a solution.
I mean, I hope they actually. I would be cool if they actually sold the Jericho Protection Security shirt. Oh boy! Oh boy! Oh boy! Let's run down some of the scores around baseball this week. It's been a rough one. They're 8-11 this year, baseball. But they won Tuesday 7-5 over Wright State. Lost Sunday 7-2 to UNC Wilmington. Lost 2-0 on Saturday at UNC Wilmington. But beat them on Friday. And lost to them Thursday 12-4. But they open up a Big Ten play with a series in West Lafayette starting tomorrow to take on the Boilermakers. They'll be back in town on Wednesday. And next weekend, I will be attending Saturday, April 2nd. They take on Nebraska. That is baseball. 8-11. They got to get it together, man.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of do. I mean, weather's warming up. Opening day's around the corner too. So, I mean, it doesn't really feel like baseball season yet until after March Madness is over and opening day's here. But
yeah, going back to the ladies,
going by fast,
right? Going back to the ladies, they swept. Oh, they lost to South Florida 5-0, but beat Lehigh 9-1 in 6 innings. Beat Canisius 3-0, beat St. Thomas 5-2. Saturday, replayed South Florida, beat them 9-0. Went down to Athens, Ohio beat the softball team down there 6-1. They open up Big Ten play tomorrow with a doubleheader at 2 o'clock against Indiana and 4:30 against Indiana. And then Saturday, they finish up the series against Indiana. They are 18-5 on the season. They got also Tuesday, they go head to Lexington to take on Kentucky before they go up to East Lansing to take on the Michigan State Spartans. Softball 18-5 this year.
Love it. It's lacrosse news. They did lose on the 20th to Denver, 14-12. They came back on the 22nd. Quick turnaround time, honestly. They played 2 games in 2 days. They beat Dartmouth 12-6. So on the season, they are sitting at 6-2. You know, not bad at all. I mean, they're definitely going to be a threat, I think, in the tournament. These are good teams they're playing. They have fallen down to 8th in the rankings, but they're still ahead of North Carolina, Notre Dame. They do play Rutgers coming up, and Rutgers is the 7th overall seed in the AP poll, 7th overall in the AP poll, and they still have Maryland. on that list. So
lacrosse, Maryland and Michigan too.
Yeah, Michigan should be ranked as well. I think they're on the lower side of the rankings, but they're definitely ranked. No, they are not actually Michigan.
Oh, they're not ranked now?
No, they are they're right outside the top 25. Well, it's actually, I apologize. It's the top 20. It's the top 20 poll. Michigan looks like they're 21. So, because they're receiving votes. They're the first one receiving votes. Loyola is also receiving votes. So maybe we'll get Sister Jean in lacrosse. Who knows?
All right. We got to talk about what happened yesterday in the Woody. Some players shine. Some players flex their muscles. And I'm talking to you, Master Teague.
Yeah.
Dude, people thought DK Metcalf was a genetic freak. Master Teague is a genetic freak. 4.4 flat, 40-yard dash. Broad jump, 10.11. Worked out with no shirt on. He's a physical...
Who wouldn't if you're built like this? I mean,
like, Lord, Master Teague.
At this guy.
I'm shaking just looking at the picture. He's in his boxer briefs. That's all he's in.
Look, this the fake media doesn't want you to know that this man is a specimen. All right. I don't know how this guy didn't get an invite to the NFL combine. It blows my mind because he ran a 4.4, had an insane broad jump. I think it was like 11 feet. It was like higher than any running back at the combine, apparently. 4.4 speed when you're chiseled like this. And by the way,
you're 241 pound bowling ball,
pure muscle. Yes, we know he can only run in a straight line, but you know what? DK Metcalf can only run in a straight line too. That's all right. And I like to point out the man is coming off an Achilles injury, like an Achilles tear from a couple seasons ago. Yes, I mean, it's been a couple seasons, but still, that's a tough injury. And the guy looks like this. All right.
Let me tell you about Master Teague. Master Teague's going to be drafted by an already Super Bowl contending team. That's going to get you the carries inside the 10-yard line and have like a bunch of touchdowns.
They need to compliment him. I could see him, honestly.
I like him with the Colts.
Tennessee Titans would be a great fit. Him and Henry.
I think him and Jonathan Taylor, you get speed, big running back out of big, shifty speed running back out of Jonathan Taylor. Get you down and then once you get inside the red zone and the goal line, you hand it off to number 33, Master Teague.
I love it. I mean, dude's a beast. I mean, we knew this. We were shocked when he didn't get the invite to the combine. We were like, what? I'm glad he had a monster day. Because it really, yesterday was his day. In my all the guys there, that was the day for him.
I mean, I think Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, they really didn't have to work out. But I think they worked out for C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. Honestly. No, I got that vibe too. That was almost for Stroud. That was like an extra pro day for Stroud, I felt like.
And for some reason, and Cardale Jones, like.
Which, yeah, that was good. He looked good. He still had it. And I'm getting technical here. On a couple of the throws on the dropbacks, he's a lot quicker and smoother on his, like, transition than Stroud. Now, I think that's just NFL coaching and just experience, how much quicker and smoother he looked. But if you watch the dropbacks, his, like, motion to, like, you know, like, turn around and get set, way quicker than Stroud. Now, I don't know if Stroud was taking his dropbacks that seriously. I think Cardell probably was doing that for
– Stroud didn't show him everything either.
No. I think Stroud was more concerned about just – Making sure the pass is.
But by the way, apparently he is shot up. If you look at the way too early 2023 mock drafts, he's the number one guy taken off the board.
But just wait, because they're going to find a way to slander him. They will. There will be a random quarterback from like the West that comes out of nowhere. And then there'll be an SEC guy too that's they're gonna say it's better. Somehow too, they'll be like, "Oh, DJ Uiagalelei is better." Actually, like
Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, trust me. There's gonna be he's number one now. Remember this, everyone. He's number one now. But when they start slandering him in a few, you know, after the season, come back to this clip because this is how it always plays out. I'm telling you.
By the way, if spring football update, if you're really following in spring ball, just go on Twitter and all that fun stuff. Jordan Hancock is turning some heads, by the way, people. He look for his name to be out there in the mix for defensive back. Jim Knowles really likes Jordan Hancock. So that's going to be a name to look out for at the spring game. I guess Jack Sawyer is just – I guess he is – really put some muscles on. Jack Sawyer has been a lot to been talk about. He's been talking about Mickey Marotti, how Mickey Marotti has really taken that comment by Josh. It was Josh Gattis about Ohio State. About the toughness and physicality of Ohio State. So Mickey Marotti has taken it to heart. And these boys over at the Woody are showing out. The spring game is going to be a lot of fun. The only thing I didn't like about the spring game, the update so far, is those stupid Rydell looking helmets where the face masks are already embedded into the helmet and there's no bar at the top like here. I might be old school, but these helmets are starting to look like motocross helmets. But I'm just old school and I like the where you have to screw in the face masks and stuff like that. I mean, let me look at my – I'm going to show everybody my mini helmet. I mean, at least show Dan. I kind of like – I like where the face mask at the top are. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, it doesn't matter to me. I just – as long as it's comfy and it protects me, I don't care what it looks like. I've always been a proponent with that. I would wear –
I have been too, but
I would wear a single – kicker bar if it was the most effective helmet. I just care about how it's going to protect me, honestly. I don't care about looks. But it's preference. Some people want to look good. Some people just care about performance.
I care about both, but I was also a lineman, so I had the big bulky face mask. So yeah, but I think all in all, it's all about the player's safety and what the helmet – who cares what the style of the helmet looks like. But it's all about player safety. And that's what you want to do. You want your quarterback to test it out, which is weird that Rydell is having quarterbacks test it out during spring when we all know quarterbacks won't be hit.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some type of, like, data censoring or something in it. It's probably – I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't make these things. I can't really speak on it.
So, I mean, before we go here, because this is just kind of a short episode, one of our short episodes, this kind of dives into this, you know, we talk about players' safety and stuff. We're going to have a two-part series, and we're going to get serious.
It is. It's going to get real. I think it's a good time to do it, too, because we got a few weeks before the spring game. Basketball's done. It's kind of a quiet time. But Cass, I'll kind of let you explain what we're going to do.
So I feel really deeply about this. And ever since the young lady from Stanford who committed suicide, the whole Harry Miller thing, which Blake Biscardi is going to be part of this two-part group. He's going to touch base with the Harry Miller story with everybody because he's been more in depth with it. Mm-hmm. Talk about Harry Miller. Dan, he was a student at Ohio State, so he's going to talk about the Costa Cara George thing that was going on and how students, not just students, but we're going to dive into student athlete mental health. My cousin, who's a high school senior at Eaton High School over near Indiana, she is fully committed to play volleyball at Miami University of Middletown, which I thought it was Miami, Ohio. It's still like the baby sister of it, like D3. Yeah,
it's like a volleyball branch campus.
But her major is sports psychology. So we're going to pick her brain a little bit, talk about how, you know, high school, you know, because I'm calling it the social media era because there was no social media. There was, but there wasn't. It wasn't in depth like it was back when I was in school, maybe back when Dan was in school. We're going to talk about our personal experiences with if we had any problems with mental health with student athletes. And I feel deeply like I am very intrigued about this and very passionate about, you know, learning this. And why not bring it to the podcast, talk about it a little bit, student athlete mental health, especially with everything that, you know, with the Harry Miller. There's also a softball player for the Buckeyes that has came out and talked about her mental health. So we're going to dive into a two-part series, maybe have a former Buckeye come on and talk about his personal spirit, what it means to be a student athlete, maybe at Ohio State or in high school or in college in general, and the pressure that it is to become a student athlete and the mental health of a student athlete. That's what we're going to talk about. Get serious for a couple episodes, and then the fun and games will come back with the bunch of nuts. But it's a great time to do it. You know, basketball's over, winding down, and we're in that time period where spring ball is about to start and end at the time, and we're reaching for things to talk about. So this is a great subject to talk about.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be pretty important, impactful, insightful. I'm excited for it. I mean, that's all I really got for today, Cass. But anything else before I end it?
No. Go Bucks, and hopefully they take down Texas tomorrow, and we head to the Elite Eight for women's basketball because we need some more excitement at Ohio State and hopefully bring a national championship, another national championship.
Absolutely. So as always, go Bucks. Thank you so much for listening, and shout out to the ladies. Best of luck against Texas, horns down.
Remember, hopefully you get fined for that.
Go Bucks.